Mike, good morning.
Morning, Steve.
That as always happens, it seems, when it's a surprise, everybody was, I think, focused a little bit on Oaklawn and maybe lost track of what was going on at Gulfstream on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it has to be a perfect storm usually for those things to happen. And, you know, they still handle a lot of money in the pool. It's hard to imagine with that many combinations out that you could get one single winning ticket, and you know, it took a 70-1 shot for it to be accomplished. So the winning ticket, I expected to see it all in that race on that winning ticket, and there wasn't. The person who purchased it used the 70-1 and the 4-5. And, you know, as the race went, the 4-5 shot, the favorite, Sappy Joseph, probably should have won, but didn't get the best of trips, and then lo and behold, the perfect storm happened.
Big time, and we're talking about Scarto, who went wire to wire under Hector Berrios, pays 153.20. Amador Sanchez sent this one out, and what can you say? The longest shot on the board, and that's what it takes. I mean, but to have that horse, it's pretty funny though to have that horse a bunch of long shots, 50-1, 23-1, 55-1, 44-1, and it's obviously somebody who thought, I guess this Scarto could go wire to wire, so you got to protect, and that's exactly how it turned out.
I don't know the reasoning there. I mean, we actually had a pretty good work on that horse. It was a three-ace blowout. I gave it a B, and the horse looked okay, but I still didn't imagine he'd win, you know, myself. So
unbelievable.
And I don't know if the person who had it, the clocker report in there, I'm going to guess probably. I don't know what the reasoning was for them to take that ticket, take that horse as just, you know, as a backup to the favorite. It's crazy. Or maybe they liked the horse and took the favorite as a backup to him. I really don't know the reasoning, but it was a well thought out but unique ticket. You know, it had two singles, the first and the last, but it had two alls in the eight horse fields. And if they hadn't been eight horse fields, had they been 11, would the person have gone alls with 11? Probably not. You know, but the fact that there were two eights allowed them to get away a little cheaper with the alls and the eight horse fields. But to give them their due, you know, they singled the winner of the last race, Mike Makersauce, who was 10-1 in the morning line, wound up at 7-2. But they were all in on that horse, and he got the job done for him. So, we traced it. The ticket's been traced to an Express Bet customer for $51. Everybody's thinking it was one of the big syndicates and conglomerates that spent thousands and thousands, but that at this point it doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, and one lesson in this is that beaten favorites will invariably make it possible. You had a beaten favorite at 6-5 in the first leg. You had the 3-5 in the second leg go down. Then you had the 70 cent, another 3-5 go down with the 75-1 shot. Then you did have a 3-2 winner in the ninth, but the third choice home base from Michael Tomlinson wins the 10th race, and then you had a 3-2 favorite get beat in that nightcap. I mean, so the more favorites that get beat, the more opportunity, the more windows essentially open toward, these circumstances.
That's why it's hard to imagine somebody that bet a $51 ticket. And from all evidence, it wasn't a $51 ticket amongst 15 other $51 tickets. With that many beaten favorites, you would think it would have to be someone with a bankroll that was going to do alls in a couple of races where the big prices came in, and that just wasn't the case, you know. So again, perfect storm.
Amazing. Well, as part of the aftermath, we're going to talk about the pick five in a minute. And because of that 75-1 shot, nobody had the pick five because the rest of the horses were, you know, very haveable. So
and that was amazing too, because if I read the board right, there were five horses live in the last race for the $202,000 payoff, and the winner, who was singled on the Rainbow Six ticket, was not one of them. So
that's amazing.
Yeah,
and the funny thing is, I mean, there isn't any there isn't any experienced player that isn't familiar with that winner. Aquaphobia was a longtime Jackson Leal trainee of Delacour's, and you know, that's not like some obscure horse that somebody would, you know, looking at that 11th race. And we should mention this was a series of starter stakes, you know, sort of like Claiming Crown type action. So it brought together some interesting fields.
Right. I mean, there's always a possibility in those kind of races for something like this to happen because of the wide open nature of it. You catch the same horses back against each other again. And, you know, sometimes the horses that won it the time before just don't run, and those are your beaten favorites. But, you know, first time Mike Maker is probably as good a handicapping theory as any, and maybe that's why this person used that horse as opposed to any other logic I could think of. But the fact that it wasn't covered in the pick five is kind of amazing.
We'll talk about this in a minute. Let me get a couple of pieces of news, Mike, and a couple of things that I haven't talked about, and that includes Cookie Doe's win in the Royal Delta Saturday.
Yeah, you know, look, she ran to her work, but she always works well, you know, so sometimes it's a little hard to gauge her that way because she's old, but her last work was sensational. It was a 3/8 blowout that turned into a 5/8 super gallop out, whatever. But, you know, there was the sloppy track factor. She'd never been on a wet track before. And then there was the Paco deciding to take her off the lead factor, which wasn't the plan going in, I don't think. Well, it was his plan, but Safi said, when Paco said, I want to take her back off the pace a little bit, he said, you know, why don't you play it as the race goes and let's think about this a little bit. But that's what he did. That's what happened, and it worked out. You know, the Bill Mott horse, the favorite in there, had she changed leads at some point in the stretch earlier than she did, maybe she runs her down, but she stayed on her left lead all the way until late stretch, and then when she switched, she surged and just got second money from Safi's other horse. But to take nothing away from Cookie Dough, she ran a very courageous race. It was a well-deserved win for her, first graded stakes win, only the third win of her career. Hard to believe with all the great races she's run, this is only her third career victory.
A couple of thoughts, Mike, too, about some of the other horses out of South Florida that moved around the map. That includes Gouverneur Morris's performance at Tampa on Friday.
Hard one to read. I mean, visually, you know, he struggled a bit to beat Untitled, whose ability to get that far is still a little bit questionable, and you know, he has that one big sprint race on his form. You know, on the watch, though, you know, he was almost set the track record and come back with an 80, I think 6 or 88 buyer, maybe a little low by these Triple Crown standards, but good enough for a horse making his first start of the year to certainly deserve a shot somewhere on the Triple Crown trail. Where that's going to be, Marty McGee talked to Todd for a piece that's going to be in tomorrow's racing, or Friday's racing form, and they're still not committed yet to what they're going to do. And like Todd said, why do we need to commit? You know, let's just wait and see what happens. I think he wants to see where everybody's going to shake out and maybe try to pick the easiest of the point spots to try to get this horse enough points to get into the Derby. He's going to need a big effort somewhere in one of these big point preps.
Any thoughts about the 3-year-olds that scattered to the winds, including, you know, at Oaklawn and Fairgrounds, and of course you mentioned Safi Joseph, Math Wizard, starts the season in Oaklawn, and kind of a long way to travel, but I guess, you know, I guess he got the season started anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he's been off for a while, and, you know, the original plan was to go to Saudi Arabia, and then that fell through, so this was kind of the backup plan. He'd been working all along, or right along, and been working okay. I just thought the trip, you know, any chance he would have had, he had no chance with that trip. He wound up 3-4 wide into the first turn, and then very wide the rest of the way. I didn't watch a lot of the races at Oakland that day. I don't know how the track was playing and if you had any chance from off the pace or, you know, being outside. But I just thought, you know, after the first 3/8 of a mile, I was watching the race with someone. I said, this was, you know, he's he's got no chance from here. But he, you know, he should build off that race, and we'll just see what Safi chooses to do the next time. I'm not sure if Dubai has been on some kind of a radar. I'm going to guess that they won't do that. And I think they had been invited to Dubai, but I'm going to guess they're not going to go there. I haven't talked to Safi. I saw Mary Rampolini did. I spend a lot of time talking to Safi these days, so I didn't want to bug him again after the race. But I'll have a chance to speak with him later in the week when we start talking about chance at going and the Fountain of Youth.
Well, and on that topic, you wrote, Monday, about chance at gearing up. And I also mentioned to people early this morning, I've been sitting on the corner of the desk, Flavian Pratt is going to ride Dennis's Moment next Saturday and with a rad in the desert. So there's some real anticipation of what is going to be a mammoth day, Mike. What, nine stakes?
Yeah,
is that right?
Look too much at the undercard, 8 or 9. Yeah, I think so. I know we have the Devona Dale I get all these names mixed up for the Phillies. We'll see for the 3-year-old Phillies. We'll see Tona Lachey try to keep her record perfect on that day. But you know, the Fountain of Youth shaping up is a pretty good race because you're going to get Dennis's Moment in his first start of the year. You've got Chance It. I think Kelly Breen is going to come back with his horse. You know, it looks like there's a good chance Structor is going to try that spot too, try the dirt for the first time. So it's a race that I think is going to tell us a lot about a lot of these horses. But I love the way Chance is training. He couldn't have had a better work than he had here the other day. Probably going to get an A-minus when the smoke clears and they put it into the system. He just did everything right. And the one thing Safi said to me after the work is he just doesn't get tired. Comes back to the barn like he didn't even do anything. He's so high on this horse right now. And look, trainers get high on their horses at this time of year. They're 3-year-olds. I don't blame them. But everything I've seen from him points out him as a really legitimate Kentucky Derby candidate right now. We'll see.
You also wrote about Tis the Law breezing back out of the Holy Bull win and is going to wait for the Florida Derby now at this point. Anything new from Barkley?
No, I mean, they just gave him a very easy half mile. They have plenty of time. They didn't even work him, unless plans changed today that I'm not aware of. They didn't even work him this week. I talked to his exercise rider who breezed him last week, Heather and Smullen, and she said Barkley just wanted to give him another easy week. He's in no rush. He doesn't want to squeeze the lemon too much. You know, they're looking to get this horse to peak on Kentucky Derby Day, but they're still going to have to step up to the plate in the Florida Derby and get some points. You know, I mean, he's got 22 right now. That's obviously or probably not going to be enough. He's going to have to run at least third in the Florida Derby, but he's so legitimate. I mean, he's probably going to go into the Derby, the Florida Derby, as the favorite here, and I think deservedly so. He's definitely one of the legitimate ones in this division right now.
It sure feels that way. And then, of course, you're tracking you and Marty. I saw where Marty wrote about Patrick just the amazing situation that finds Patrick, you know, first with Diamond Dupes emerging last year and now with two legitimate three-year-olds. No matter what happens, whether they, turn out to be better on the grass down the road, but it's unbelievable. I thought I had a wonderful visit with Patrick last week.
Yeah, it looks like Ette Indian will go to the Fountain of Youth, and they'll stay the course in Tampa with their second one. These horses came out of nowhere. They do look like paper turf horses. You take your shot at the dirt, and they step up. You got to stay on the dirt this time of year. It's the same thing that Chad's hoping will happen with Structor, that he'll take that incredibly good turf form and transfer it over to the dirt. He works on the dirt. Sounds like he works great on the dirt. So he could be a major player if he goes into the Fountain of Youth as well. So obviously he's going to need points too. But, you know, these horses, they'll have two chances here, the Fountain of Youth and the Florida Derby, to earn their way into the Kentucky Derby field.
Got to ask you too, Mike, how about that eighth race that was drawn the other day? the stake on the card, there's actually a couple stakes. There's the Any Limit and there's the Turf Sprint. But the race that I think is going to draw plenty of interest is that First Level Allowance going 7/8 with Violent City, Silver Ratio, Cost Basis. This might as well be a minor stake. Why, frankly, why didn't Mike Lakehow slap the Hutchison name on this race?
Yeah, it's interesting that the Hutchison doesn't fill, and this race draws all these horses. It's a good question there. And it's an Americana. I don't know if did you mention Americana?
No, I didn't.
Training okay, too. Yeah, it's an interesting race. I haven't really sat down to handicap the race yet, and I haven't gotten through the workout reports on these horses either from out of town. Out of town, I mean Palmettos and Palm Beach Downs. So, but it's a terrific field. A little late for these horses to be considered on the Derby Trail, but it is an interesting race, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to handicapping it. I haven't gotten that far yet, though.
Well, we'll look forward, actually, to the workout report. It's a very attractive sequence on Saturday at Gulfstream, and frankly, with no super day on the Derby Trail elsewhere, I think people are going to enjoy it. There's a couple of turf 3-year-old maidens. There's a group of 7-furlong maidens going in the third race, which looks like it's got some quality to it. So maybe we'll get Marty to do some handicapping on Friday. Mike, let's handicap tomorrow's sequence. 200,000, and what do you think? It's got to draw a million and a quarter.
I would say it will. I think you'll get a million in there, and I you know, again, a lot of that, it just depends on how many how much money the big dogs decide to throw into it, because that's where, I don't know, 35-50% of the money in these things come from, I think, you know, just guessing. But you start seeing these huge clumps of money come in if you follow in the pool as it grows. I mean, I know the last Rainbow Six, it looked like they weren't going to get to whatever, 10 or 11, and all of a sudden 2 million came in one flash and another million in another flash. You know where that's coming from. That isn't the lady that hit the Rainbow Six the other day with a $50 ticket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're responsible pretty much for the end result here. But usually the formula on carryovers and dispersals of like the Rainbow Six, 4 times the carryover. So going in, I mean, this is a pretty much obvious. You might as well call this a mandatory payout because it's going to get paid out. So if you use that formula, should be up to a million anyway, and if one of the big conglomerates decide they want to take a real shot at it, you might get to a million, two or three. So we'll see.
Let's start, and it's got two always tricky turf sprint opportunities. It starts with a 30,000 non-winners of two lifetime going 5 on the grass. These are fillies and mares, and you know, at first glance, there's not a tremendous amount of speed. Twice around, the Fuentes, Jimmy Creed mare, puts on the blinkers and has shown some speed. You got the horse coming off the long layoff for Fernando Abreu, who is struggling this winter. This horse has been gone over a year. And, I don't know, Take Charge Again from Sibeli's got some speed.
Well, you didn't even mention Awas, I think, is going to be the main speed. That's Our Kiss Him Goodbye on the rail.
Oh, on the rail. There you go. Yep.
But this filly has never been on turf, so, and she's been a beaten favorite 4 times in a row. But that being said, it's a dangerous outfit. She's got the rail. I'm guessing she's going, and if she can make the lead, who knows? You know, I think you got to use her. I mean, the race should set up, and the favorite's going to be Stormy Nelly. Just the fact that Irad's taking this mount, to me, is almost automatically going to make her the favorite, the way Irad's been riding, the way he's been getting played, and the way this race sets up. I mean, she showed a little ability to make up some ground last time off a fast pace, and this should probably be a reasonably fast pace. So she was my first pick in here. It looks like the works, you know, coming into the race are decent, too. So she was my first pick here. Oscar Gonzalez, who has had a lot of success here, he's, by his standards, not having a great meet either, but certainly this horse is, I thought was going to be dangerous. And, you know, if you're looking for a closer, Little Bella, you know, I don't know what happened to her. She won that debut with a big late run, disappeared for a long time, has a very steady work tab coming in. So, you know, she might be worth throwing in, too. It's a tough leg. You know, it's not an easy one to get by if you think Stormy Nelly is vulnerable.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of thumbing through looking for, you know, somebody that's going to kind of draft a little bit. You know, Stormy Nelly, that race when she broke her maiden at Calder, that, you know, that would be a winning race in with this group.
Yeah, I mean, off those distance races, she's so speed going long. She's not going to be near the lead sprinting. You know, it's just the five no. aces is the big question with her. But if she gets enough pace up front and Irad does his turf magic, I mean, because nobody rides the turf here anywhere better than Irad does, or especially of late.
Well, I suppose by tomorrow's show I can find out. I can reach out to Rich Averill and find out if Rich is singling his mare in this leg. Maybe that'll be a deciding factor for those of us building tickets. The second leg, 6.5 furlongs, and these are low level claimers. Thoughts in here.
I mean, again, I think the race goes through Irad and Worth Avenue. She's the class of the field. She's never run this cheap. You know, Hard Knock and Mare obviously has her issues now, down for 8,000. But if she runs her best race, I think she'll be tough to beat. She is going to need, you know, some pace, and there isn't a lot of it in here.
No.
Maybe Baby Ice would be the best of the speeds, but I thought she was one that had to be played for sure in here. And I also threw in, you know, Fancy Fox. Well, Fancy Fox is a question mark. I don't know what to do with her. This is an open, you know, 8,000. She's never won an open company. Her three wins have been maiden and two condition claim. Well, no, one was an A other than at Indiana Downs, and then a condition claimer, which she won in the slop at Churchill Downs on the lead, which she's probably, maybe not. I guess she'll be close up here, too. So it's a tough call. These kind of races, and that's what separates these, you know, the men from the boys, I guess, in these kind of sequences where sometimes you just need to just spread because you just really don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, for my money, Worth Avenue, if you're going to look to single in on anybody in here, it would probably have to be her. And she'll be, you know, short price with Irad in there.
The horse of Sano's, the painter filly on the outside, Mary Lee and Me, dropping down as well from 12.5. And
possible. Yeah, I mean, she's been, you know, knocking around for a long time. Again, she's another one, never won a wide open race, got three career wins on her resume. That's the thing with Worth Avenue. She's won an open race. She's got four wins. It's about everyone else just about in here has the three. But Christine Lee fans will be throwing Mary Lee in. I can tell you that because that's who she's named after.
Oh, that's sweet,
Christine Lee. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. That's great. And of course, you got to go out beyond the paddock now to eat at Christine Lee's. The 16 claimer back turf sprinting. This is the third leg, and these are the boys doing it. Field of nine in here, and Eddie Plisa has got a dropper on the outside. You Should Be So Lucky. Start out there. I see this is an MTO. How are we for weather tomorrow?
As far as I know, everything is fine.
Good, so, okay.
I don't think there's any rain in the forecast, but I haven't checked it today. As of yesterday, there's no problem. Again, I think the race revolves around Irad and Sir Seamus. He drops out of the same pretty good race that You Should Be So Lucky came out of. You Should Be So Lucky tried to go with the early pace and then just stopped to a walk, and now it's going to drop back probably where he belongs. The two races prior to that were very good, including a 5-ace over at Gulfstream Park West. So Seamus also raced forwardly, chasing a very fast pace that day, but held in pretty well to finish fourth off of that early run. So I think he's definitely the one to beat near. I think some people will single Sir Seamus. A lot of people obviously will single Sir Seamus. The race turned into a key race too. I mean, two horses have already come out of it and won the next starts too. So I like Sir Seamus. If I had a single something on the card, it would be Sir Seamus. I'd use Eddie. And if you're looking for a third horse, maybe Mr. Edgar. First time on George Delgado claim. He's had a pretty good success rate off the claims, freshened him up, worked him a couple of times, and gets him back on the grass where he's run well against better. So that would be my top three there with Sir Seamus, the preferred choice.
I got to ask, Mike, because I know that we'll see the answer from you in the Clocker Report later this afternoon. But number two, Memorable Election, coming back off of a winter freshening for Guadalupe Preciado and first-time turf and coming off of a sparkling 34-4 bullet.
Yeah, I mean, he's worked fast before. If you look back, he's had several fast works. The 34-4, that bullet was purposely done. I mean, they were looking for him to work fast that morning. He was all in. So that's all I could say there. But he still, the turf is a question mark. There's a good chance he's going to be sent hard early to try to make the lead here. That was the plan with that blowout the other day. And again, you know, turf breeding isn't anything that screams grass at you, but 5/8 might be the deciding factor with him that helps him out.
Just a heads up. I mean, it would appear that he would be the candidate to run with Sir Seamus, and you know.
Well, I don't see Sir Seamus on the lead actually dropping. You know, dropping the turning back to 5/8. It's the same case. You know, we talked about with horses that show speed going two turns on the grass. A lot of times aren't in front going 5/8. So,
who do we like?
Guess Memorable Election. I like. Who do I like to win, or who do I like to?
No,
be
who
in front?
Who do you like to be in front?
I think Memorable Election is going to be in front. I mean, I think that workout was purposeful. That they want him to go to the lead. But I think Sir Seamus will be stalking him and coming off those two-turn races. If he's close enough, turning for home, he's going to run it down.
Very good. And, you know, you mentioned Mr. Edgar in that race. And I do want to mention Edgar Prado, born again. Edgar having a terrific winter.
Yeah, no, he's had a great meet. I got to give him a lot of credit. You know, he works hard. I see him out there in the mornings. A lot of times working horses here, and I'm sure there's a lot of days I don't see him because he's up at Palmetto's working horses. He's had a terrific meet percentage-wise. He's right up there with most of the big guys for this meet. So it's great to see. I know his goal is to overtake Angel Cordero Jr. on the all-time wins list. I think he's about four or five back from attaining that goal right now. And the way he's going, it may not take him too long to get it.
Looking at the ninth race here, the fourth leg of this pick five, and we come right back to another Georgina Baxter trainee that is going to be out there for Rich Averill. And our prerogative, 5-2, and one of the candidates to be in the first flight. You got My Saratoga Star in here for Dave Braddy. And Catalust, I suppose, could be a little forward. We're going 6 furlongs. It's a first-level allowance, and there's a few in here for the $35,000 tag.
Yeah, it looks like a legitimate pace scenario, which would set it up for Flat Awesome Jenny. That was my top pick here. The horse is in good form. Worked well enough on February 13th to suggest that he's holding that form. And if the race goes according to form, which means probably a legitimate pace scenario, you know, I think he's the one to beat, but certainly not a single by any means in this kind of race. I think My Sarasota Star will probably be in front. Our prerogative chased him to no avail. If you look back going 5.5 here in September, My Sarasota Star wired the field with our prerogative chasing, and I think our prerogative will probably take the same tack. He just went a little too fast last week on the lead and had nothing left, got beat as an 8-5 favorite, so maybe they'll try to take him back a little bit off the pace and chase My Sarasota Star. But I agree, Catalust probably going to show speed. He had a pretty good work. You get the report, you'll read all about that February 12th work. It was a bullet work, maybe not quite as impressive as that bullet there might indicate, but he's going to show speed too.
gets us to the nightcap. It's a 1 mile maiden 16 for fillies and mares, and it's a bit of a catch-all. Everybody here has run at least four times, and so you got a lot to work with. You got a horse like Raspberry Ballet coming back to the turf. You got some other horses that are also returning to grass. You got Bull Dat for Terry Pompey making a turf debut. Second turf for Wild About This. Kind of a tricky read here from the nightcap.
This is the kind of category you love to go into the nightcap and these things with the all button already punched if you can afford it, because we've seen so many times these races and this kind of a race, especially the maiden claim at bottom level on the grass. Just you shake your head sometimes at the results that come out of these things. But and you got Amador Sanchez in there, who's been lighting up the board many times, not only the other day with Scardo. So hard pressed to keep him out, but. If I had to have only one choice in the air, it would be Wild About This. Comes off a very good effort. First time, you know, two turns anywhere. First time two turns on turf, or first time turf. Second best on a loose lead, but second best behind a runaway winner. And now you're going from a double buck to one of the greatest riders of all time, and the guy you just mentioned, Edgar Prado. So, you know, if this horse can just work out a trip, not get hooked on the lead or sit a stalking pace off of that last race, and he repeats that last race, I'm saying that she does. I mean, to me, she's the right one. But, you know, we've seen so many crazy things happen in these kind of races day in and day out that there's no certainty they claim 16 is on the grass.
You went with Wild About This, and Rosa Parks, a price with the 7-pound bug tuning.
He was my second. She was my
yeah,
pick.
Yeah.
Her last race was good. It was also her first time two turns anywhere.
Right.
And it just came off a layoff. I mean, the barn, you know, didn't win a race last year. It was winless here at this meet. Sometimes that's a little bit tough
off-putting
to take. But the jock had a good, you know, 24% win percentage last year. Get some weight. So I threw her in second. That was my second pick. But again, one of these races where, you know, the trip is probably going to decide the outcome here.
The Pompey horse, Bull Dat, is a Soldat daughter. It's her first turf. However, Soldat, so far as a sire, is hitting at only 4% first turf and 11% overall. So he's not exactly throwing turf runners out of a holy bull mare. It's a My Purple Haze homebred, and so if you're looking for surface switch, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Mike, big help, and should give everybody a lot to work with going into tomorrow's Pick 5 carryover, 200,000, and the sequence starts at 3:33, easy to remember with the sixth race. We will talk next week ahead of the big Fountain of Youth Day card.
Okay, Steve. Talk to you soon.
I appreciate it. Mike Welch, everybody, DRF Welch. And let's take a very quick turnaround break, Deja, and maybe a short break. Come back and connect with Brad Cox.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest, we know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. B-Y-K to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The North American fall crop continues to decline, but not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our Racehorse Development Fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
We're back. We're going to take, as I said, cut the break short, and gives us about a little under 15 minutes to talk to Brad Cox. And as I said at the top of the show, one of those situations on Monday that any horseman, anybody related to the game, players included, just dreads. And Taraz injured, and then the decision made that she could not be saved. Then everybody has to move forward and get to the afternoon's racing, and hopefully the results in the afternoon lifted everybody's spirits. That included Wells Bayou running a very good second in the Southwest, and Warriors Charge with a powerhouse effort as well in the Razorback. Brad, for everybody in the game, to Garrett O'Rourke and the Judmont organization, and you and your staff, just so sorry about Monday's misfortune.
Yeah, no, it was a tough day, and a lot of texts and phone calls, and people in the horse racing community that reached out, and it meant a lot. It really, really did. And for just a short career, three races, I mean, she definitely established a huge fan base, and I felt like I was her biggest fan for sure, and she'll never be replaced. She was very special.
I mean, there's no speculation, I suppose, that is worthwhile, but, a very big horse, and I don't know, the slow ones don't seem to get hurt as often anyway. And, there's no point in really speculating as to what might have gone wrong. But, if there's anything that you have to, as you and I, in fact, exchanged on Monday, you had races to run and horses to take care of, seconds after this occurred. I imagine Warriors Charge in particular, his performance and the huge group from 10 Strike being there had to lift everybody's spirits.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when obviously you have to stay focused and, continue on. And, we have a great crew in place. And, like I said, it was a tough day for everyone, but we're able to get through the day and able to get through the race card, and it was a good day at the races. Let's put it that way.
Talk about Warriors Charge and the alert. There were a couple of alerts last week, for at least for people listening to the show. One was Marcus Hirsch observing him at Fairgrounds and saying just how terrific it looked like he was coming into the race. And then we had Marshall Graham during the NHC, and Marshall was very excited, although he couldn't be there. But there was a lot of indications that this was going to be the start of what could be a very good handicap season for Warriors Charge.
Yeah, for sure, and that's the goal. And when he came back last fall from colic surgery, you obviously never know how horses are going to come back, and obviously something like that is, we don't deal with that a lot. And he came back, and I mean, just showed the brilliance that he showed in the spring last year, and maybe even more, and had developed and gotten faster. So obviously he would need to, facing, you know, horses that were moving forward, older horses for the first time. And he got to the races really quick last fall. I think looking back, I looked back the other day, I think he only breezed like six times off the layoff, and then was able to put in a really good performance against a solid group of allowance horses at the fairgrounds. And then, you know, we back last fall, you know, thought about, like, if this horse, you know, is what we think he could be, we would target the Oaklawn races. He had obviously had two wins, breaking his maiden in a first level allowance victory at Oaklawn, would target the Razorback. And you know, he just continued to train extremely well there at the fairgrounds after that allowance race, and it worked out really well. I do know this, when we entered and I looked at the race and saw the horses that we were running against in their body of work and the amount of starts they had, and looked down and see he only had seven starts in his life, I thought to myself, well, I know the talent's there, but I don't know if the seasoning and experience is there. And, you know, I think he's a horse we're hoping and really do believe that he can get better as the year goes on.
Taking charge of that race, talk about, you know, basically grabbing control and just you know, running on the front end.
Yeah, I'll give Florent credit for that. I mean, I thought there were two speed horses to the inside of us, along with us, and I told him, I said, you know, it's up to you if you want to set off those horses. You know, you make that decision. But, you know, when the gate opened, you could tell Florent took initiative and put the horse and you know, give him a couple extra shoves to get up to the front and establish the front end, and he did a great job, and he obviously fought off a very nice horse at the wire.
Essex and the Oaklawn, or just the Oaklawn?
You know, we'll talk it over with Marshall Graham and Clay Sanders, but I think those guys are content with waiting for the Oaklawn handicap, and honestly, that race, given the time, I think is the proper thing to do. He's obviously shown that he doesn't mind time between starts. It would be his third race off the layoff, and you know, that I think that probably makes the most sense for him right now.
Very good. Let's talk about the three-year-olds, and overall, when we fold in the Rachel Alexandra, the two races, the two Risen Stars, and the Southwest, overall, it was a good, I'd say it's a good showing. If somebody had told you you were gonna win one and finish you know, in the money in the others, you might be pretty satisfied. Let's start with the filly, actually, and we'll come back to the Southwest. Talk about British Idiom and the return and you know, where you go from here.
Well, it was a big effort. I thought it was, you know, the numbers come back. It was her best race of her life. It was obviously off of a layoff. I think this filly has moved forward as a three-year-old. I know she has, physically and the way she's training. And Javier come back, and his comment was, look, she's better. She's better this year. She was beaten by a very, very nice filly. You know, we didn't have the greatest trip. She kind of got pushed out a little bit going into the first turn. But, you know, given the trip she ran on, and, you know, we would have loved to have won the race. But the goals, you know, grade ones later in the year, and I was pleased with the effort. She bounced out of it in good shape, and we'll look, you know, once again, not circled a race, but we've got two races that we're thinking about. Obviously would be the Fairgrounds Oaks, and then the Ashland at Keeneland would be the two races we're looking at. So the main thing is she came out of it in great shape, and she's training forward. She went back to the track today and looked fantastic, and I think she's got a big year in front of her.
Excellent, excellent. Let's talk about the Risen Star winner then, and then we'll come back to the Southwest and Mr. Monomoy. Mr. Monomoy pretty much ran similarly to Finite, actually, kind of took control of the race and just stayed on.
Yeah, he showed up, and you know, I kept looking at the race and kept looking at the figures and thinking to myself, you know, those two horses that beat us last time, you know, they ran bigger figures, and I thought, you know, I didn't really know if we could beat him. And he stepped up, and he beat him, you know, decisively, or, you know, open lengths. And, you know, very proud of his effort. He galloped out great. He's a horse that just – he's getting better. I mean, if you look at his numbers and physically, he's getting better. I mean, he was a horse that had moved forward from the LeComp to the Risen Star, just the way he was working, his, you know – his condition. He just getting bigger, stronger all the time, and just very pleased with how he was leading up, how he was training leading up to the Risen Star. And you know, hey, look, he's 7-1. I honestly thought he had a big shot in there, and you know, he didn't let us down. He's a tough horse, and he ran a lot like his sister, to be honest with you. He showed some, you know, fought off some horses, put them away, some really good horses, and stayed on. So it was a big effort. He's another one, you know, he came out of in good shape, and he went back to the track today, and we're looking, you know, hopefully one more prep, and if all goes well there and it comes out of that in good order, we're hopefully off to the Derby.
How about that? And similarities between him and the sister and Monomoy Girl?
You know, a little maybe. They're a little feisty to deal with at times. Obviously, one's a colt, one's a filly, but yeah, they don't look alike. We actually had the full brother to Monomoy last year. He's still a maiden. He's in Ocala right now. He's a 4-year-old Cowboy Diplomacy. He and Monomoy
right.
Look just alike. It was kind of odd, but they have some similarities for sure.
Let's circle back over, and I don't know if we're going to get to the fairgrounds win, but important to talk about Wells Bayou and Answer In. And Wells Bayou, I thought, ran a courageous race, only to get, you know, Silver Prospector, you know, kind of overwhelmed him. Answer In, meanwhile, was chasing the whole time and ran evenly. Your thoughts about the two of them coming out?
Well, the Bayou ran big. He was training. He's training well. He's a lot like Mr. Monomoy, and he's getting bigger and better every race. His numbers seem to be improving physically. It's like Mr. Monomoy. He's growing, developing. You know what you have to or need to see this time of year from horses that you're hoping to make the Derby with. So you know, he definitely seems to be going in the right direction. That was actually his first time on a dry track. And he responded extremely well. So, you know, I think, you know, with his pedigree and his physical makeup and his mind, I do think he's a horse that, you know, can go beyond a mile in a 16th and, is a horse that'll get better with age as well. So, you know, I really do think he's got a big future.
And, what about Answer In?
Answer In, very talented horse. He is a gelding, and he was a little warm the other day in the paddock. I was hoping he would settle a little bit. He didn't really do Javier a whole lot of favors when he broke. He put himself in a wide spot. He just really wouldn't come off the bridle and shut it off. And honestly, for him to run the way he did, wide around both turns, Javier had to really kind of ask him to pick it up probably a little before he wanted. I thought he ran a really, really big race. And then even raced green down the lane when Javier, I think, touched him right-handed. He kind of veered in a little bit, bounced his left lead, and then went back to his right late. You know, I know the talent's there. There's no question that he's as talented as any three-year we have in the barn right now. But it's going to be a mental thing with him if he can shut off and relax. And, you know, we're just going to have to work with him. It's really going to come down to what we can do to mentally get him to relax, I think, is the biggest thing.
How about the winner in the fairgrounds, Factor This?
He ran a huge race. And you know, he ran a big race in, I think it was the Colonel Bradley, you know, showed speed that day. And there was a lot of speed in that race. That race came back fast, and he held on to be third. And you know, when there was a couple scratches in that race, and when they came in, I just kept thinking, this is a good thing. It can only be a good thing that this horse be able to break and establish a lead and shut off going up the backside. And he was. Sean did a good job. Bridge Mahan did a good job of getting him to relax, take a breather up the backside. And he always tries this horse. We claimed this horse to Saratoga a couple summers ago, and he's been with us a while. And, you know, he's just a really neat horse. You know, he's run a good bit, but he's a very sound horse, and he shows up and runs hard, and he's kind of a cool horse to have in the barn for sure.
Brad Cox, everybody, follow Brad Cox Racing, and you've heard me say many times on the show, Sean Bridgemahan on Front End Speed, out of this world. Brad, thanks for doing this. I know what a tough situation everybody faced down on Monday. Continued success.
Thanks, Steve. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Brad Cox, everybody. I want to thank Brad. I want to thank Mike Welsh for the comprehensive Gulfstream report, including the handicapping of tomorrow's carryover. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Eric Fadlovich and Stephanie Houston, Megan's parents. I put up the links. Support the families if you can. Pete Fornatel early, and word comes that Tommy Trotter is being operated on. And best wishes. Talk to you tomorrow. Hey!